1 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on your home for the Chiefs, 96.5 The Fan. Coming up in about a half hour, we were joined earlier by our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. You'll hear our conversation with him. He's in Orlando. We found out a little bit insight on a Disney World trip, although he didn't actually go to Disney World. We'll also get his perspective on the NFL postseason, how he sees the narrative around the Chiefs. And then he also filled us in that you attempted to get him to be on your newest song. And that song has been blocked by a listener who bought the pass during the garage sale. That so that song is not going to ever air on the show.
No, Nate.
It's only on Cody's personal Twitter account.
If I had asked you, so like last night I was working on this song.
The reviews are in. I haven't heard it. The reviews, everybody's saying we made the right decision to block it.
Oh, wow. That hurts a little, but that's fine. You can listen to it later, Nate. It is on social media.
Okay.
Without revealing the song, because I don't feel like I should be like giving too much about the song because the person vetoed it, I had asked Vinny to do a short ludicrous verse and sent him the rewritten lyrics for it. If I had asked you, would you have done it for me? You know, you cover the NFL professionally, and this is about how people complain too much about the refs. So you probably shouldn't, but you know,
ladies and gentlemen, look, it's a silly sport where the ball isn't round. Okay. Don't ever forget that. Like it's a silly sport. All right. We care about where your head is parallel to the center's. You know what? So again, the ball isn't even round. It's silly. You know, the silliness about like, well, I don't know. Should we be playing games in the snow? It's like, yeah, because it's silly and it's fun and it's entertaining. And like,
it's different. I don't want to watch the same
thing. Yeah. Like, I'm not asking basketball players to play out. Like, that's why they play basketball. They play inside. Baseball can't, you know, you can't throw a pitch in baseball when it's snow or when it's wet. I mean, for obvious reasons, but no, it's a silly sport. And, I don't know if Vinny has the voice inflections to pull off a ludicrous style.
I gave him the lyrics and he was strongly considering it.
Is that a yes from you? You would have done it?
Oh, I probably would have done it. Yeah.
There you go. You missed the opportunity.
If you give me enough time, you know, if you give me the right mood,
I'm going to give it. I gave Vinny. It was clear. He was like, he was at dinner. You could tell he was like, and you could tell he was
on vacation.
Like, you could tell he was like soft launching it to the group. This is my sense of how long it took to answer. He said, ha 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 ha. What a question. That's not a no. Then I followed up with some stuff. We get in there. He asked, when are you trying to do this? Again, not a no at that point. Then what I think happened, Nate, is you soft launch to the group. You ask the wife. You ask a teammate. You ask around a little bit until enough people are like, do not do this.
I told Vinny it was a smart career decision not to do it. He was worried about the locker room, it sounded like. But anyway, you'll hear our conversation with Vinny. As you guys can hear, we've got Nate Taylor joining us in studio, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. I don't want to spend too much time on it because it's nauseating at this point in time, but where do you stand on the official stuff right now?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know. Now I sound like Mike Tomlin. We do not care. Were the Texans going to win this game?
Nah.
No.
Refs could have done them 10 favors. They probably weren't winning.
I mean, enough people have said it that I've seen, so I don't feel like I have to repeat them. But no, the referees are human beings. I think that's something that we should also try to acknowledge, even though I know nobody wants to hear that. They don't get replay, kids. Like, in the press box, I'll take one example. In the press box, that looks like roughing the passer. Helmet snapped back, fell down, kind of hit him high. Like,
you see the behind angle, and you're like, no wonder he called it.
Yeah, letter of the law. I'm just saying from above. Like, I have an even better viewpoint than the actual official, the actual referee who makes the call. And I'm like, yeah, that looks like roughing the passer. Then you see the replay and you're like,
fringe.
It's a lot of gray. It's a lot of gray area. Not black, not white. Plenty of gray. Okay, cool. You know, I used to write about, and this tells me how long I've been doing this, but I used to write about one of the things that always blew my mind about Patrick when this is like 2018, 2019, is he cracked the code based on the rules that he would actually turn his head away from the defense and look at the referee and say, any holding? All right, I'm going to get out and scramble. Like there's multiple videos of him looking back while the play's going on and being like, you going to throw a flag? Any holding occurring right now? okay, then I'm going to get out and run, and I'm going to use the
smart
open field. I'm going to use the line of scrimmage for, like, you know, my whole body has to be past line of scrimmage, not just, like, half my body. So I'm going to use that to my advantage. I'm going to use the first down marker in the sideline to my advantage. And now that I'm in year seven, year eight, if I use the sideline as, like, quote unquote, the 12th defender, but actually it's supposed to force them to pull up, I can use that to my advantage too. And the rule book says I don't have to slide at a certain, I can slide whenever I want.
Yeah, it doesn't say you can only run 7 yards and then you have to slide as
right.
a quarterback. Yeah,
or you have to run in a direct line and then slide. Like, so, I can change directions. I can go backwards, forwards. I can juke. I mean, no one talks about this, but, like, I can juke. I can go backwards to where two defenders collide into one another. Like, that's what happened earlier this year with the Saints. It was not as cool as when Mike Vick did it in a game-winning situation in overtime against the Minnesota Vikings. But I can – I know the rules. So, and these are human beings. So I'm weaponizing what's legal in the rule book against human beings who are trying to be as objective as they can, but you can't do that at that level with that amount of speed, quickness, physicality involved. They're going to make mistakes. Like, it's fine, but you will have a myriad of plays to change the difference of the game. You want to know what my biggest anger was when it came to the referees? It was not about Chiefs Texans. Get that out of here.
Okay.
The worst call this past weekend, was in Buffalo.
The OPI one?
Yes, where he literally shoves Tre'Davious White to the ground because Keon Coleman realizes, oh, ball's in the air and I have not created any separation.
And not just doesn't call OPI, calls it on the other man.
Yes.
Gets him.
And it's right before halftime. So that's a difference between potentially 3 points and or seven. The Bills, to their credit, take advantage of the penalty, get a touchdown. Now they're up 21-10. The entire game script is different in the second half based on that penalty. That penalty had more of an impact than any of the penalties that were or weren't called in Kansas City. So, again, these are human beings. They're trying to do their best. I just wish people would acknowledge that the most. Like, the Texans had plenty of opportunities, okay? Mario Edwards Jr. did an amazing job to even notice that Patrick's scrambling, right? Grabs him by the foot, which you're kind of not supposed to do based on the rule book, but he is a scrambling quarterback at that point, so technically he's a runner. Grabs him by his foot, by the ankle, not trying to do anything crazy, but, like, come on, man, stop running away from me. He threw a touchdown? Like, that's why the Texans lost, kids. It's not because of the referees.
When you look at what they did in this game, the pass rush obviously stands up. A lot of those were late in the game, and the Texans' offensive line is bad. Mm. But it's still got to be a good sign that Karlaftis is shaping up to be a big-time playoff performer, similar to that as Frank Clark. Chris Jones remains a monster, and I don't know what level of health Charles Omenihu is. I know in postgame he joked he's not 100%, but the tape looks that way. He also has created, since his appearance... Like, I mean, obviously the trio of those three will make pressure on even, I think, Buffalo's offensive line, which is very good.
Yep.
Probably the best left in the playoffs, arguably, I think.
Yes. But. Yeah. I would have given maybe a push on Detroit, but they're not in the dance anymore.
Yeah.
With this pass rush, now that you have the flexibility and the fact that, you know, he's come from the injury looking really, really good, that being Charles Omenihu, you just now have someone who can win one-on-one consistently. You know, I thought the tackles were probably the strength of the Houston Texans. And then George Karlaftis just beats them constantly. One of the biggest third downs in the game is Chris Jones going from inside to outside to beat a rookie tackle.
I know. He, like, chose his spot, too.
I mean.
Beat him fast.
And it beat him really fast. And it was a third down in the middle of the field. So, like, you're preventing the Texans from even having a chance to put points on the board. And then Charles Omenihu had one of the quickest strip sack fumbles I've ever seen. I was just like, did they block him? But you look, and it's like, man, that's really good technique. That's understanding their scheme from his film study, and knowing that CJ probably wants to get the ball out of his hands quicker. The fun about all of this is, hey, he only had one guy to throw the ball to. Uno. Okay, maybe you could throw the ball to Dalton Schultz, but for some reason they had him blocking.
Carl Loftus.
So stupid.
A bunch of times. Like, just so many times.
At that point, don't even line up, because you've already given Spags the advantage. It's like, oh, so you're keeping your tight end in, which is one less person in the route.
And a player that we're bad at guarding.
Right. And you want him to block one of our best pass rushers? Okay. Like, and we're still blitzing, by the way. Not like we're going to change anything. So from a schematic situation, the Houston Texans were really overwhelmed in the second half. CJ still holds onto the ball too long, but I get it. You only have one guy, Nico Collins. You only have one guy that can be reliable for you, and it got to have a situation. At least Josh has a couple, and I think some of the best ones are actually at the running back position.
Yeah, James Cook is something
he's
else.
He's had a great year.
Yeah, and, you know, I know Amari Cooper hasn't played a ton, but he's still capable. Keon Coleman will be a new matchup. He didn't play in the first matchup. He's obviously tall and athletic. Yes, you still have Shakur, who's going to be your wiggle guy in the middle of the field from the slot standpoint. They actually used him a lot in the first matchup on behind the line of scrimmage passes. Just get him the ball as quickly as you can in space. Yeah. See if he can make somebody miss, i.e. Tre'Mari Connor and Najee Johnson. Josh Allen will hold on to the ball too, but he can do more with it than C.J. Stroud. So that'll be the thing that I'm interested in. Can Chris Jones create such pressure early that he pushes Josh into the lap of George Kalaftis or into the lap of Charles Omenihu, because they got no sacks on Josh Allen in the first matchup, and that's one of the reasons why they gave up 30 points.
It was week 11. It was a while ago. There's a lot of different personnel you highlighted on the Bills side. We know the Chiefs didn't have Jalen Watson or Omenihu in that game as well.
Yep.
Or Hollywood, right?
Hollywood on the offensive side. But when it comes to looking at Josh Allen, how much do you think Leo Chenault becomes a key in this game? Based off of the idea. Everybody talked about the 4th-and-2 call.
Your job is to take care of Josh.
Everybody talked about 4th-and-2 that only iced the game for the Bills. And were they in a spy? Were they not in a spy? Was it just a great job by the Bills? Like, how much is that going to be the deciding factor in this game?
They have to. I didn't write it in my story today on The Athletic. I actually should have mentioned it, but it seems so obvious. Like, there was, if I could comfort Chiefs fans, it would be this with the defense. They will be highly motivated based on, you know, that's the only time they've given up 30 points, I believe, all year, right?
That is correct, yeah.
It's the only time they've given up 30 points all year.
Yeah, we don't count the Denver game.
No, God, no.
That game doesn't matter.
Remove that from the record books.
15-1, okay? Yeah. They were 15-1.
It's a 16-game season this year.
Yeah, remove that from the record book. So it's the only time they gave up 30 to a legitimate opponent when they were trying to win the game. They had no spy. They didn't have one of their, you could say, their second best cover corner in Jalen Watson. Mm-hmm. Didn't have Charles Omenihu, arguably your second or third best pass rusher. And Spags, all he did was show cover zero. That's it. There were no zone blitzes. There were no simulated pressures. There was no spy to monitor what Josh Allen was doing. The way the Bills countered that was the deep ball to Amari Cooper, because Najee Johnson was on him. And that cannot happen on Sunday.
No, and they won't use Najee as much, I don't think, in that situation. They're still getting Jalen Watson back.
Right. So Jalen Watson, again, if he gets through this week of practice, well, he should play more snaps. I think he played, 40? 50
or 40,
yeah,
something like
yeah,
that.
40, yeah, 40 of the defensive snaps. Which
they're all in the second half. They, like, saved him for the more important part.
Yes. And hey, if something were to happen, Najee Johnson got more experience. It was fascinating to me that they chose Najee Johnson over Joshua Williams, who was just special teams only. I thought those would have been reversed in terms of roles. They only did cover zero blitzes. The touchdown to, I think it's Curtis Samuel, on cover zero. Much of Josh Allen's yards is on cover zero blitzes. So you could try that again, because now you have maybe better coverage with Jaden Hicks growing, with Jalen Watson being available. But I imagine that there's going to be different flavors of blitzes while also having better personnel, including a spy. And Leo, if you touch him, hit him hard. The quarterback must go down, and he must go down hard. You the only guy we got, pound for pound, that can withstand this man in a one-on-one situation. And in particularly, too, we saw this with the Ravens. the Ravens knew. You get inside the 5-yard line, he ain't giving the ball up to nobody else. So, Leo, if you're in a gotta-have-it situation on 3rd and goal from the 4-yard line, it's you and him, man. Meet him at the hole and see if you can withstand it, because they don't really have another defender who I think is mobile enough but also strong enough to maybe prevent Josh Allen from running as freely as he could when the Chiefs were not spying, you know, the 4th and 2 play where they did zone. And the zone worked, and then he ran right by them.
I guess this will be a conversation we probably have later in the week. Josh Allen has played the Chiefs in an AFC Championship game, but it's been like 3-4 years since they did it. Like, at some point, does that pressure get back to him? It's been a while since he returned to this game. It's been a while since it's been a couple of years since he played at Arrowhead. That came in the 13-second game. Certainly, like, at some point, is it like too far removed to be like, well, he's played in this AFC Championship game. He's only made it at this round once. It was 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, Mahomes just plays in this game every year. I don't think it means anything, you know, no sweat off his back. But at some point, I wonder about Josh Allen. You always fear the same thing. It's like you turn back into what you do when you're at your worst, which in his case is making a bad red zone decision.
Right. Or, you know, and give credit to Josh. Like, he didn't play out of his mind on Sunday, but he managed the game very well. He was decisive when he did make decisions. He used his legs to the team's benefit, and he didn't turn over the ball. No. That's everything we asked of Lamar Jackson, literally. And he couldn't, you know, he couldn't go drive for drive, basically. He couldn't hold serve. Because Patrick has been in this situation so much, obviously you include Travis Kelce, Chris Jones. I think one of the biggest things for the pass rush, I just shouldn't have mentioned this earlier, Alex, is the crowd noise. Like, this will not be played in Buffalo.
Fair, yeah.
You know, can the offensive line and Josh Allen communicate when it's this, you know, when it's, it, I mean, I'm assuming it's going to be incessantly loud, yeah. And there's going to be, okay, that linebacker's walking up, that safety's walking up, who's coming, who's staying back, like, you're trying to identify, like, where the pressure might be coming from. It's a lot harder to do that on the road when you got to go silent count versus being at home in more comfortable conditions in the offense, knowing that the crowd is going to support them. It's tough to know that this is, it's not tough. It's actually exciting. Let me rephrase that. It's really exciting to know that this is the last stage. It's the last level. Like, New Orleans is a whole different season because you get 2 weeks. It's in ideal conditions. You're not home or away. It's a neutral site.
It's got all extra nonsense with it. They know.
Yes. Yeah. It's a totally different, like, it's almost a separate season in and of itself. But it's the last game, and everybody knows that. So that's why it's important. Obviously, you play for a championship. But in the thick of this, in the thick of rivalries and knowing who you're playing and what did they do this week versus us, and Josh even admitting, I think in December after a win against the Patriots, hey, man, we don't want to give everything away because we got to save stuff for later. Later's now.
Yeah.
We need you to show out. We need you to put on a cape. We need you to play at your absolute best but not turn the ball over. We need you to use your legs but not to the detriment of the team or, like, put yourself in danger from a physical standpoint in terms of injury. And this is the last hurdle for him to be that guy that leads the Bills to the Super Bowl for the first time since, what, 1993?
Yep.
I mean, there'll be plenty of pressure, but he's at least ready for the test now to where the Chiefs, in essence, their season begins on Sunday. It's such a great contrast that is what has made this rivalry so compelling.
One final thing is we got Nate Taylor joining us here in studio from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider on 96.5 The Fan. On the offensive side, one wide receiver had a catch. It was Xavier Worthy. I know Travis Kelce went off for 117. D-hop snaps did not increase the way I think a lot of people thought they would. What do you make of the wide receiver breakdown? Is that a... hey, he's not healthy. Is that a still, hey, they're kind of saving him for the Bills, and then Bills are about to see something they haven't seen all year kind of thing, or what?
It better be the latter. I haven't gotten a sense from DeAndre that he's battling through anything. It's not for comparison. Like, I know Jawan Taylor's still not 100%.
Okay.
Still play fairly well, despite his injury and the fact that they don't want to have anybody play right tackle.
Yeah, sure.
Heck, so, Wanya was inactive, so.
Correct. So it's not like that. You know, man, it was such a good route, such a good concept. They knew it was going to be man coverage. And I think partly due to the wind and partly due to my man being hyped up, the ball just went over his head, you know? So instead of a touchdown, you got to kick a field goal. That was Patrick's first real downfield pass after the impressive Nico Remigio return and the Samaje Perine fumble recovery. It would have been great had Hollywood caught that pass that was on target, that was accurate. Defender made a good play, you know? And then thankfully Travis Kelce bails you out literally on the next play. I want everybody to understand that the Houston Texans secondary, in my opinion, is drastically better than the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, they avoided Derek Stingley and others.
Yes. And still were able to throw the ball to open spots in the middle of the zone, i.e. Travis Kelce, and still found a couple places where they could get the ball to Hollywood down the field, and they still used Xavier Worthy in like the short game, lateral movement, misdirection type of stuff. There was a couple screens where they threw it to Xavier, and I was just like, they have yet to put that on film. That's interesting. To use his speed in a way that the Bills have used, you know, Shakir speed. Guys, Lamar Jackson, when this season was literally on the line, with two capable pass catchers being Isaiah Blakely and Mark Andrews, and no receiver you would trust. They had Rashad Bateman. They didn't have Zay Flowers. Went right down the field when the Bills knew you was passing. Somebody should take advantage of DeMar Hamlin's range. Someone should take advantage of some of the eye discipline issues that occur with Tyler Rapp. Tyler Rapp is not a good safety. The system allows him to be a functional safety. We all remember, too, that I think it was Xavier Worthy had about 25 yards of space on that deep corner route. They should incorporate DeAndre Hopkins to move the chains. Hey, run some slants, some digs, some sit-down routes. Maybe soften them up, but you got to beat them over the top. I don't care if it's going to be 20-something degrees on Sunday. Patrick always says, like, that shouldn't bother me, you know, especially when you get into, like, second, third quarter. Once you get comfortable with the wind conditions, which is why that first throw to Hollywood was so interesting, because it was like, wow, we don't really see that. But it's like, it is windy, and you haven't played football in 23 days, and I think you were juiced. I think he was, like, so, like, pumped that he was like, yo, you got to calm down. You got to get back into, like, normal game speed. Those holes are there, man. There's a reason why Denver went right down the field and was like, yeah, let's throw it over their heads. Wow, he's open. It's like, you do know they have guys who can run really fast down the field. The Chiefs have faster guys. So if they don't beat them over the top, that'll be one of the big that'll just be one of the big mistakes, one of the big, like, missed opportunities they have, because I'd be shocked if the Buffalo Bills, unless Josh Allen's just amazing, that they will get to the Super Bowl with a good front seven, but with a secondary that I find to be like, somebody's going to take advantage of that sooner rather than later, and the Chiefs have the opportunity to do that, because that's not Kel Hamilton back there. That's Tyler Rapp and DeMar Hamlin. You should go over the top 3-4 times if you can.
Nate Taylor from The Athletic, our Chiefs insider, will be keeping an eye on your work throughout the week. Appreciate it as always. He's presented by Mark Ferguson. We all make mistakes. Let Mark and his legal team make the best of them. 816-221-1750. Up next, our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, joined us earlier today. He told us how the trip down to Orlando is going, plus his thoughts on the rest of the NFL postseason.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Devontae Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our Vin, FL Insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
Well, we got to head straight to Orlando, and I'm hoping it's sunny and 70 degrees and just nice time to be down in Orlando. Vinny Pasquantino, he told us last week that's where he was going to be. Are you in line? Are you waiting to go on Space Mountain or something?
No. I went yesterday. We went to Hollywood Studios yesterday, and shout out to a woman I met named Jennifer who recognized me. She was very nice. We spoke for a little bit. She was very nice. Nice to meet her. But no, it's not nice here at all, actually.
What, it's not?
It's raining and it's like 50 degrees, which here, I don't know, Florida people I don't think know how to drive when it's under 70 degrees. I went to UCF this morning to work out, and one, beautiful facility. Shout out to UCF because it's super nice. But two, the weather is just horrid right now. Not as horrid as where you guys are.
Oh, no, it's like 0 degrees here. It's quite unpleasant here.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool vacation where don't get to see the sun and I have to wear a sweatshirt.
What? Just out of curiosity, so you say, hey, I'm going to go work at UCF. Does somebody from the team set that up for you? You fire off a text? How do you get set up with UCF just to go work out there?
Networking. So it actually hits home with the Royals. Lonnie Goldberg, who was our former scouting director. Now I think he's like director of player something. Front office with the Royals. He, his son went to UCF last year. So I had an easier connection than sometimes. So I asked him how the staff was at UCF cause I didn't know any of them. And then, he said they're cool and he got it set up for me.
For what it's worth, Lonnie's official title is assistant general manager and director of amateur scouting.
Yeah.
It's a lot of words.
Thanks for clearing that up, Cody. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Cody. That made it way clearer for me.
Well, we're sorry that you're getting
Lonnie drafted me, so I am forever grateful for Lonnie.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Now, you mentioned Hollywood Studios. Are you planning on going to any of the other parks, or was that just kind of what you're doing?
That was it. That was it. We do one park a year, so we did that one. Got to do Star Wars stuff, which is very fun. And, now we're trying to figure out what to do today in this beautiful weather.
Yeah, everybody says the Star Wars thing is really cool. Like, did you build your own lightsaber? I heard that's like one of the feats you got to pay extra for, which I'm sure is no problem, Vinny. But I heard that's what Cody and I were joking during the.
Don't get into my pocket, poor guy. You don't know what I can't pay for.
Hey, Cody and I during the break were saying, man, that lightsaber. I'm like, yeah, I think it's an extra like X amount of money. And so we're just curious if you're doing. Like, I would go. We were saying we would be going all out, Vinny. That's all.
Well, I'm not I like Star Wars, but I'm not the biggest, like, I'm not obsessed with it or follow it a super ton. And because of that, I'm not really allowed to have collectibles at my house because I don't do anything with them. My wife would throat punch me immediately if I tried to buy one of those, knowing that I would end up doing nothing with it.
Smart. Sounds like a good woman, Vinny. Yeah. Smart. Keep you in line at least. Let's talk about the NFL and what we got last week out of this. Do you view Lamar Jackson as now this storyline that is, well, he's just not going to win in the playoffs because that's where it is? Or are you in the other side of the argument, I guess, that is, hey, some quarterback starts slow in the playoffs and he's too good to be held down forever?
Yeah, okay, so this is I'm going to have a long-winded answer here. I have a theory about the NFL. Not a theory, but what I would do if I was in charge of a team. There are a few quarterbacks in the league where I would call a GM of another team and I would say, hey, I want your quarterback. I will give you a first-round pick for every unlimited first-round picks until he retires. You can have my first-round pick until this guy retires. Lamar Jackson is in that camp.
Okay.
He could be my quarterback. And somebody had to lose the game the other night, and it just happened to be him. I thought, you know, he made some mistakes. I thought they could have won the game. They didn't. Like, he's a very good player. And I don't think any less of him because of that.
When you look at what Josh Allen has been able to do, and you've seen him obviously in the division as a Jets fan a number of times, what makes him so difficult to stop? We've seen him in Kansas City a lot, but in your minds, what makes Josh Allen such a difficult player to defend?
Well, I think it's the ability to put the ball down and run. That, and he can just launch it over your head. And I think this year the difference for him, like obviously he's been in the AFC Championship before, like that's not a surprise. But I think the difference is like he's not launching the ball and turning it over this year. It seems to be smarter plays. Like I don't know, like right there's a standard in the NFL that Mahomes is number one. Like and it doesn't even people talk about other things because it would just be boring to say that he's the best quarterback in the league. Like Josh Allen is probably as close as you can get to that. And I think if the Bills were to go on to win the Super Bowl, you could probably make the argument that he is in that, you know, same sort of tier.
Do you think he'd have a Super Bowl if Patrick Mahomes didn't exist or was in the NFC?
I don't know. Like, I think Man, I don't know. It's easy to like. It's easy to throw hypotheticals, right, and be like, "Yeah, of course." But like, if winning's hard, and winning titles is really hard, and it takes like, I don't want to use the word luck because it doesn't take luck to win, but like you need things to go your way.
No question.
Most of that is stuff that you do, right, to make things go your way.
Well, you could have a $400 million payroll. I've heard that helps.
Ooh, boy, that is quite a different topic that I do have some opinions on. Did you see that they signed Kirby Yates?
Yeah.
I don't know who's going to pitch the ninth inning because they've, like, the fifth inning, a closer is now pitching for them, so that's sick. Josh Allen's just really good. And it just comes down to winning is very hard, and the Chiefs just do things the right way. And it's there are different players other than the quarterback that do things the right way too. So it's like they're firing on all cylinders, and this weekend will be a really, really fun game.
You alluded to it when we were asking about Lamar Jackson, just like, hey, ultimately they had a chance to go tie the game. It's a great drive by Lamar, and the narrative around him might be so different this offseason because, unfortunately, a drop pass there from Mark Andrews. And then you see basically how Mark Andrews is handling this, and I'm sure how devastating that moment is. You know, he didn't speak to the media, and then yesterday I guess they had the locker clean out and he didn't show up or whatever. Like, I know you haven't been playing professional sports for nearly as long as Mark Andrews, but let's peel back the curtain on how difficult is it to handle, I guess, you know, quote unquote failure, or just in that moment where everybody is, you know, just blaming you for something. I just can't imagine being in Mark Andrews' shoes right now.
Well, I'd like to make it clear that I've been playing professional sports 1 year less than he has. Just the minor leagues are professional sports too.
That's true.
True. Fair enough.
That I just needed to make that joke. But it's tough, man. Like, he lives for it. Like, it's what he does. He wakes up in the morning and he thinks about catching footballs. And in the biggest moment, he dropped the ball. And it really, really sucks. Like, it just does. It really, really sucks. And he's going to have a long off season now because of it. And, you know, just as like a human, I hope he finds a way to get over it, get through it, because it's going to suck for a long time. I mean, you feel like not only did you let your teammates down, but you feel like you let the whole city down, like of what could have been in that game, right? Like, I mean, the Bills could have gone down and scored, and maybe it doesn't matter. But, you know, it did happen, and it effectively, right? I mean, it ended the game. And it really sucks for him, but at the end of the day, like, you got to catch the ball. In that moment, he didn't, and it sucks, but, you know, the Bills are moving on, and it is what it is.
On the NFC side, I guess because of the upset of the Lions, there probably aren't that many people ruling them out, but how good of a chance do you give Jaden Daniels and the Commanders to take down the Eagles in Philadelphia?
Man, he's really good, huh? I mean, Jaden Daniels is a very good player, and here's a maybe a hot take for you. Dan Quinn, really good coach. I know he had the Super Bowl thing, but like, is Dan Quinn, was he maybe underrated as a head coach?
Maybe. He's gotten a turnaround pretty quick in Washington.
I also heard something, though, that I kind of laughed at, is that his analytics guy is the same guy that was in L.A. with Brandon Staley. So, like, they're going for all these fourth downs, and apparently it's, like, the same guy that's doing the math for them.
Interesting.
I don't know. It feels like you're playing with a little bit of fire when you're going for that many fourth downs. And, like, also, why can't they just score within three downs? Like, I feel like these past two playoff games, they're just fourth and three.
Take some four downs every time.
Like, why do you keep getting to fourth down? Like, and maybe it's because in the game plan, you know you're going for fourth down, so maybe you're not being as aggressive. But, like, just get the first down. I say that from my ignorance. You know,
it's like, just use the best play now. Why wait till the end, you know?
Yeah. Hey, it's third and three. You can just do the good play and just get the first down or the touchdown. Like, I don't know how many times you're going to get the four. It's like always fourth and three. It's very strange. But they put it in his hands. Like, this is where I go back to the Ravens for a second. It's like this weird, they don't know who to give the ball to, it feels like. Like, we've got our MVP quarterback, but we have Derrick Henry, and it's like they can't decide who's going to take the game over, where it's like in Washington, it's like, no, Jaden Daniels is going to do it. Like in Kansas City, who's getting the ball on fourth and two, fourth and three, you know, who's getting the ball, right? Like, they're not running it. And if they run it, it's going to be because the quarterback runs it. Same thing in Buffalo, you know, who's getting the ball, where in Baltimore, it's like, oh, who do we give it to? And in Washington, like, they're really good right now, and they're hot, and there's something to be said for that. And I mean, the Eagles are glad they're playing at home, but they're like, man, we got to play a team that knows us this well. Like, this kind of sucks. Yeah, not that they're scared or by any means, but you know what I mean.
Sure, yeah. Commanders beat them a couple weeks ago on with the final play from scrimmage, and you know the Commanders are very, very confident as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. I'm sure you've seen, it's hard to avoid it at this point, the narrative around the Kansas City Chiefs, and people in Kansas City are just kind of fed up with it. We've called it Chiefs derangement syndrome, and it's caught on all across the country, not just with fans, but seemingly media members as well. And this idea that things are, you know, rigged for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think there's a balance. We've acknowledged that great players, LeBron, Mahomes, Brady, et cetera, yeah, they get some calls that go their way, but the conspiracy stuff is just ludicrous.
Well, I think there's a few things. One, like, people are tired of the Chiefs winning, like, nationally.
Sure.
Tired of it, right? Like, when you watch sports, and we're all biased, right? Because we see it all the time. And I'll include myself in that because I live in Kansas City half the year. It's like, it's very cool to see them win. But if you're outside of Kansas City, you're so tired of seeing them win. And you see them on primetime all the time, especially, you know, not necessarily during the regular season, but I mean, in the playoffs, right? They're in your face all the time. So you're just kind of tired of seeing them win. And then you see some of these calls and, you know, I don't know how you guys feel about the calls, but like, they're not black and white, right? Like,
yeah.
It's not like this is or it isn't. Like, there's some judgment there, which is why they have people that judge the games, referees, and people are just tired of seeing that. But it's the same thing with New England. Let's see. I am on Cody Tapp's Twitter right now. Cody, have you announced what you're doing, by the way?
No, so this is actually a great time to mention that I have a song about people complaining about the referees in Kansas City, and I did ask Vinny to have a cameo in said song. He has declined the offer.
Smart, Vinny, smart decision.
Vinny, how close did you get to saying yes? Did you at least consider it?
I at least considered it, but then I was like, you know what? I live in a locker room half the year. The last thing I need is somebody finding that song and playing that song with my vocals in it.
I think it's a smart career decision for you to turn
wow,
that
really?
Opportunity down. Yeah, I think that's a smart decision.
Yeah, all right. So, like, back, I mean, like, people are just tired of it, right? And enjoy this, because that's where you want to be, on top of the mountain where people hate your team so much that they're convinced there's a conspiracy, like, for them. That's where you want to be. Like, if we're going to talk about conspiracies, I don't think... This is not a knock to Kansas City at all, by the way, what I'm about to say. I need to preface that. If the NFL could pick who was going to be, like, the best team, they would be picking a team in New York or L.A.
Correct.
Like,
no, that's what I agree, totally.
So the Jets would be the best team in the league if there was a conspiracy for that.
And okay. I guess the Rams have at least won a title, so like someone in L.A.
Nobody cares about L.A. football teams, I feel like, though.
No,
I know I just said L.A., but like...
They probably just prefer that the Giants and Jets...
I don't know one Chargers fan. I don't know one.
I don't.
No, that's why when we see these opposing teams go to L.A. or Vegas, add them to the mix as well. Like, there's more away fans. There's the fans don't pack the place. It's a visiting home. You know, it's a neutral site almost.
Yeah, but did you guys see Fesco get... old takes.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. That was amazing. I almost tweeted at him being like, oh no, because that's what's really funny is you guys are talking about KC derangement syndrome. You guys had it too back in the day when the Chiefs weren't winning, is you guys were tired of the freaking Patriots.
Here's the thing. So yeah, no doubt, it's hard. No doubt was tired of the Patriots, and we all did think Brady got calls. I guess what I take issue with is not the, hey, great players get the benefit usually from refs. That does happen. I admit that. I think what annoys me is the people that go off the deep end, and it's like, this is a conspiracy, and they're rigging it so the Chiefs can win and all of this. And I'm just like, well, why don't you just bet on the Chiefs to win every single game? You'd be rich if you think it's so rigged.
Yeah, well, according to Cody's Twitter, so I'm in 2016 right now.
Oh, no!
10-16. Well, they blew that call, and now the Chiefs can't make a comeback. Thanks a lot, refs.
hey, I never said refs don't make a bad call. But yeah, I don't. I usually don't think they decide the final score. Plus, in 16,
something happened in 2017 in December where Travis Kelce threw something at a ref and said something about Foot Locker.
Oh, that was really funny, actually. Travis Kelce said that they didn't deserve to work at Foot Locker.
Okay. Well, do you think he thinks they could deserve to work at Foot Locker now?
Yeah, probably.
After a few Super Bowls?
Yeah, probably. That was also Carl Sheffers. That's a pretty famous one.
I'm scrolling your I searched your Twitter for
and
just
search refs. Yeah.
You have a lot of tweets about the refs, I will say.
This will make the song even better later, Vinny, you know?
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, you're about to make a song talking crap about people talking about the refs. Let's see if you've talked crap about the refs.
Of course I have. Everyone doesn't like refs.
We know Fesco has. We know that for sure, that Fesco has said that the refs made the Patriots.
So do you think the Chiefs are winning on Sunday night?
I have no evidence to believe that they're not. And I might be there.
Oh. So,
all right.
I probably won't be there, but I might be. So, and if I am going, not going to tell you. I probably will.
I was going to say, why not? Why can't you tell us?
And I will say, in AFC championships that I am in attendance at. Oh, 0-1, actually, I think.
Oh, well, then don't show up if that's the case.
I'm trying to remember. I went to the one. Did they play the Bengals in two straight AFC championships?
No. Wait, yeah, they did.
They beat them one time.
Yeah. Oh, I went to the one that they won.
Okay. Whew, okay. Okay, then you're safe. You can come on Sunday.
Okay, because I also went to the Bengals-Bills game where the Bengals beat the Bills. I think that was the same year that the Chiefs beat the Bengals.
Okay. Well, then, yeah.
Regardless, the Chiefs have won a Super Bowl every time I do this radio show. So, and I got the tickets because of this radio show. So they had to have won.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
Great. So, well, we're looking forward to seeing you on Sunday, maybe.
Not that the Chiefs need any help, but they might have some extra ammo this Sunday.
Well, we'll let you get back to the great weather you're having in Orlando. And
can I just finish the show? I'm just kidding.
You want to do another 3 hours on the phone?
Yeah. Yeah. But I will be in town. I probably should have just texted you this, but I will be in town next Friday. Next Friday. Next Friday. Maybe I'll come into the studio.
That'd be great.
Okay.
Maybe. I don't know what I'm doing yet.
Okay. But
and then can we, if you promise, we'll give you some. You can read, instead of like mean tweets, I want you just to read past Cody tweets on the show studio. Have some ready for you.
I had like a interview I did with Chris Rose go like mini viral yesterday, and people were ripping me for being stupid, which is pretty cool.
I didn't see this.
Okay, yeah, because I talked about first base, and basically I'm a big dumb idiot who plays first base. Just catch the ball, man. Just catch the ball. And yes, I understand that I haven't been as good as I'd like to be the past 2 years, guys. You don't need to tell me that I suck. I know. Like, geez. Gosh. But okay, yeah, I'm going to get back to vacation.
All right, man. You enjoy it, Vinny.
Yeah, all right, good to talk to you.
So that
was too hard on himself, you
Vinny
know?
Vinny Pasquantino earlier today. Great time as always talking to Vinny. Maybe he's in studio next week. We shall find out. Tomorrow on the show, we're expecting to have Ross Tucker join us. We'll talk a little bit more about how close Patrick Mahomes is to Brady in another category that maybe hasn't been talked all that much about. No, not just the ring, something else. For now, though, we're going to hand things off to C-Dot and Rob right here on 96.5 The Fan.